I want to read something from the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. And I want you to notice this as we read. It tells us why that Lucifer was cast out of the glory world as to being part of what God had made him. We see it in Judas. Judas had his opportunity, obtained part of that ministry, failed by transgression. And after that, Lucifer, of course, entered into him. I want to read this, and I want you to listen real close, and we want to comment a little bit on it. Chapter 28, the book of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up before because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profaned out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth the fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, I want to say something here. I want you to listen with me for just a few minutes, and we'll try not to hold you very long. If you'll notice here, it says, Thou art wiser than Daniel. It speaks of the riches. It speaks of the wisdom. It speaks of the heart being lifted up in riches, as you see in the great billionaires of today. It calls this man, as to description, the king of Tyrus. Now, some of you have been with me over in the Holy Land, and you know where Tyrus is. You went down to Tyrus or over there at Tyrus. And Jesus, in preaching, walking along down through this area where we were and around Galilee, he saw the riches and the lifted up way of this king and the haughtiness of the heart. And he likened this to Lucifer because he knew that was Lucifer. Anytime a person gets lifted up in their own knowledge and wisdom, anytime they get carried away with their own bodies and appearance as to sight, anytime they get carried away with their own ego as to their ambitions and zeals through life, anytime that they get their minds on themselves, it is Lucifer. For he savors the things that be of the flesh. And he saveth the things that be of the world. And he is the prince of the world. And he loved the riches of the world. And it is said here that he was in the midst of the beautiful stones. For in the Garden of Eden, all of the lovely jewels of God was there. And as to speaking spiritually, it says here naturally he was in the Garden of Eden. It's obvious that this all has to do with the fall of mankind, has to do with the powers of evil entering into Eve and into Adam. That is to say, the tree of knowledge. That is the knowledge of the world, the knowledge of the tree of knowledge that brought death. To be carnally minded is death. Death comes from a knowledge. It comes from a thought. It comes from a word. To be carnally minded is death. That's why you have to get over the Jordan, over the carnal mind. The natural Jordan as a boundary line between those countries. God used that as a typical thing in the pilgrimage of the children of Israel across the Red Sea out of Egypt, down through the wilderness, and then across the Jordan to show spiritually that we're coming from the land of garlic and onions as to our understanding and the transformating of our mind as to the development into Christ, to show that we're coming from a strange country where we fail from the presence of God, as it was with Abraham. He went out of Canaan and his seed fell into Egypt. And out of Egypt, God said, I have called my son. So then we being in the full knowledge of God, as Jesus said, I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. We've fallen into a condition of problems and troubles and heartaches. And we find ourselves in this realm, in this dimension, and we're struggling to get out of the Egypt of this world, out of the land of garlic and onions, and we're trying to get to Canaan. We're trying to get to the glory world. We're moving from over here as to this intellectual government of problems, trying to get across the tribulation period over to the millennium. Or we're trying to move spiritually from this spiritual troubled way of life over the wilderness of intellectual wandering and all the frustrations of life, all the deceptions of life and all the slime pits, trying to get into glory, into the glory world. As it was, Jesus from the manger walked right into glory up on top of the mountain, appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah to show us that death is not necessary to go into that world. Come down and died for us. So that we could walk into that world, as Paul said, the mystery that we should be changed and not die. When we see this concerning the king of Tyrus, we see his love, the lavishness of life. We see the things that he's doing, and Jesus said, Satan. So he gave his followers a lesson by parabolic speech as he preached concerning the fall of Lucifer and the kingdom of Lucifer, the throne of Lucifer, by using the king of Tyrus. And he goes on to say, you can tell that he is talking about Lucifer, though he keeps referring to Tyrus. He uses it parabolically like he did when he said, say not 4 months, and then cometh harvest. For look on the fields, they're white unto harvest already. Naturally speaking, it was yet a few months before harvest. But Jesus used that as an approach to capture the thoughts of the man in that man is intellectual. And then he revelated it. He unraveled it. And he pointed to the spiritual harvest. He said, the harvest is ready already. Look on the fields. Pray that God will grant that laborers will go into his vineyard. So you can tell that that's what he's doing here. He says, thou sittest as God, you do what you want to. The Bible said concerning Nebuchadnezzar, he sat as God, he killed whom he would, he made alive whom he would, he are kept alive. And he says here, you'll die the death of the uncircumcised. That is to say, uncircumcised as the king of Tyrus, you'll never find salvation. You've not been born again. In that the circumcision sign was that of the Israelites to separate them from the bad. And it says here, he says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, how could he be in the garden of God? How could Jesus say that king of Tyrus was in the garden of God? Because the king of Tyrus had never been into the garden of God as to the natural king that reigned in Tyrus. And yet he had been in the garden of God, if we understand spiritually, because Lucifer that was in the garden of God as to Eden was living inside of him. And he was giving him the understanding and wisdom of riches and power, as to say, because it was the day of grace, the blood being on the seat of atonement, they that dwell under the blood, they that are living in this day, they are still partakers of the Garden of Eden, because they eat, they drink, they have the blessings of God. God has redeemed them from the fall to the extent that the blood was shed to take away the sins of the world. And I say a lot of times, they are in heaven. I make this reference a lot of times. I say, you are in heaven. And people look at me with a holler expression, you know. And I say, but you are in heaven. There's the first heaven. There's the second heaven. There's the third heaven. And the Bible said that Paul was caught up into the third heaven. And so I say, you are in heaven. And then you're made to wonder a lot of times, what do you mean we're in heaven, Brother Pike? I say that you are in heaven. You are in heaven because you eat, you drink. If you have pains, if you have problems, all you have to do is just go over here somewhere to a dentist, to a doctor. All you have to do is go to the medicine cabinet because you are in heaven. That is, God has given you the things to take care of you naturally. You have a physical thing, a blessing from God. You have a natural thing, a blessing from God. You have a spiritual thing, as do religion of this day, God giving you grace. All of this is heaven. And I say again, if that isn't heaven, if you don't think that it's heaven, if you can't understand that it's heaven, you just wait until God turns you into hell. And then when you get into hell and you look back at this, you'll know that you've been in heaven. You'll be able to tell the difference once you're in hell and you look back at this life. You'll know that you've been in heaven. You'll know then that that was a wonderful, plush, a life of comfort, something that God had done for you, and that you've actually been in heaven. You've been in the grace of God. You've been in the presence of God. So then this heaven is to pass away. The Bible said, and the heavens passed away. And so then that heaven must pass away because grace will be lifted. And with that heaven shall pass away. That is, this heaven shall pass away because grace will take it away. And instead of being in heaven, the Bible said in the days of the tribulation period, men will pray for death, beg for death, cry for death, just to find a relief from the torments and those things that's coming on them that dwell on the earth. Because as soon as this grace is lifted, it's like it was in the Garden of Eden. As the Garden of Eden, as long as the Shekinah glory was illuminating Adam and Eve, then they were in heaven. But just as soon as they sinned and the grace lifted, as to that age or as to the Shekinah of God, just as soon as it went away, the briars came, the heartaches came, the sorrows came, and they found themselves in this world. So then that heaven had passed away. That is, to them. And yet that heaven could never pass away, because that heaven is paradise. And that heaven is the third heaven. Paul said, and I was caught up into the third heaven. Or he said, a man that I know of was such a one, was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, concerning this third heaven, he said, being caught up into the third heaven, he said, and he was caught up into paradise. So being in paradise, when the Spirit of God lifted, then it was sorrow. It was heartaches. It was problems. That's where your problems are today. Somebody would say, well, bless God, if this is heaven, this is terrible to me. This is terrible to me if this is heaven. But I want you to know that it is heaven. It is a heaven, and they are eating and drinking, and they have millions of dollars. They have all kind of comforts. They have everything that heart can wish for because they are in heaven. But this is what you need to be aware of. Solomon said, though you eat, though you drink, though you have all these things, he said, beware. He said, because for all of these things, God is going to bring you into judgment. In that you are observing lying vanities. These things that you observe are lying vanities. It is a heaven. It is a heaven because there is a supreme being called the Prince or the King of Tyrus. He hath made it a heaven. He stood and told Jesus. He said, all of these things are given to me to give to whomsoever I will. He said, all you've got to do is worship me. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt not worship any other god except the God of heaven. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So then it is a heaven. And Satan, like the songwriter said, Satan's jewel crown, he'll give it to whoever will that'll come to him. Whoever will come to him, he'll give the jewel crown to them. He'll give them a crown, but it is a crown that fadeth away. So then when you run after riches and you run after fame and you go after popularity and you want to be some celebrity or some figure, big figure in this world, dignitaries, whatever, then you're going after the world, and when you go after the conveniences of the world, then you perish with the world. So then the things of the world, the Bible said, love not the things of the world. Don't love those things. It says love not the world. I've often said to you that the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he so loved the world that he gave his son to redeem the world. But I tell you again, the world at that time was illuminated with the presence of God. It was as the millennium. It was a paradise. God loved it because there was nothing unclean about it. And God so loved it that when it fell into the condition that it's in today as to the curse, that he gave his son to redeem it and bring it back to the originality. He so loves you the same way that he wants to bring you back to originality. He sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already. It was already under the curse. But the coming of Jesus was for the purpose to redeem the world and take you out of sin and take the world out of sin, that it could be restored to the happiness, the ways of God and the happiness of God that God wants us to have. Folks, we're supposed to be happy. If we have faith, we can be happy. The just shall live by faith. As a matter of fact, if Eve had continued on in faith, she would have been happy. But when she turned away from believing in God and failed to believe in the Word of God, she lost her happiness. That's why we sing the song, I'll enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'll come into his courts with praise, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. So then, Christ in you will make you glad. If you're sad, you don't have Christ on the inside of you. You cannot have Christ on the inside of you and be sad. Folks can't be sad when they've got God on the inside. Though there's problems around you everywhere, though you have problems everywhere, yet on the inside, it doesn't matter. It can be the darkest of the night. But there's a consolation. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. There's peace. And peace that passes all of your understanding. You can't understand it. You can't reason it out. Why do you have peace? At the bereavement of loved ones, at the problems of life, you still have a peace that surpasseth all understanding. So we see by this that the kingdom of God is within a man. The kingdom of God don't come by observation. It's within a man. We see that kingdom of God within man. What is the kingdom of God? The Spirit of Christ Jesus. Christ is the Spirit as to the kingdom of God. And God in his fullness dwells in Christ. That is to say, Christ's Spirit is the kingdom of God. And whatever measure of that Spirit that we receive,
That is the measure of the kingdom of God that we have on the inside of us. For His Spirit is the kingdom of God. And we inherit that from the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. As through His Spirit, because of the works of His body. So His Spirit comes on the inside of me. I inherit the kingdom of God, whatever measure. It is the power to heal, the power to rejoice, the power to believe, the power to have anything that I want in any way that I want it. As to in this world or in the world to come, because it is a kingdom, it is a power, it is a... The Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna, and I will let him rule with a rod of iron. As soon as the child was born and caught up to the throne, it ruled with a rod of iron. So then we see the kingdom of God. But at the same time, we see the kingdom of Satan. We see the kingdom of Satan as the king of Tyrus. It's shown here. And the Lord said, you've been in the Garden of Eden. You've been among the stones. Though he's been among the natural stones, as to the jewels, also he hath been among the spiritual stones. We are the stones of God. The Bible said, and when God comes to make up his jewels, he'll spare us as a man spareth his son. So we are the stones of fire. We are alive. We have fire, the God of heaven within us. We are radiant. We are God's jewels. Natural jewels are only symbolic. They're only a type of the spiritual jewels and the radiance of the jewels that are priceless. And so then, we are the stones of fire, and Satan walks in the midst of us. As in the days of Job, when God said, from whence comest thou, Satan? He said, from going to and fro in the earth. Walking up and down. That is, he was walking in the midst of the stones of fire. He sees these jewels. He sees the priceless jewels of God. And he knows that one day God is going to gather them. And he doesn't want God to take them because they're jewels. Even in the earth, they sparkle. And because of their radiance, it brings the great light of God. It brings grace into the earth. As soon as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said the fire and the brimstone came. You've been over there, you've seen where it fell. So then as soon as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, see, meaning that when the church leaves, Satan is going to have a problem. When the church leaves, then comes the wrath of God, because God doesn't love everybody as you say. God is angry with the wicked every day. The prayers of the wicked are abomination in his sight. The offering of the wicked are abomination in his sight. Somebody says, I know God hears the sinner's prayer. No. Somebody said, but when I prayed, God heard me and saved me, Brother Pike. No, he didn't. God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. You don't get that from the Bible. You say, well, how did God save me? The Bible said it come to pass before you ever called, he answered. By predestination, by foreknowledge. And the Bible said when Paul preached the gospel, that they that were ordained unto eternal life believed, and the rest were blinded. So then Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. See, God hath made us his own. And Satan wants to keep us in this world because that means life. That means life. And as soon as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, then came the judgments of God. Just as soon as God gets us out of here as the church, he's going to burn the entire world. Because rather than loving the wicked, the Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. I will pursue thee till thou perish from off of the face of the earth. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. So, we can see it hath reference to the king of Tyrus. He said, thou hast been in the garden. You was in the garden and said you was wiser than Daniel. You've been there. And this is the thing that's so staggering. He said, and you was the covering cherub. You was the covering cherub. He said, and when I made you, you was perfect. You was upright. There was nothing wrong with you when I made you. That is to say, bringing it down to Satan within a man. Satan within Adam. He was saying, Adam, all of your pipes were perfect. He said, Adam, your body was perfect. You was a perfect, upright man. Everything was perfect about you. He said, but I behold you today, Adam, as the king of Tyrus, the fallen one. Or I behold you as the son of the morning, in that Adam was made as the first one, as the son that was there in the beginning, as the son of the morning. I behold you that you've fallen. All of your generation, I behold you, Adam, as to your seed that's followed you. I behold you as today, and I see you. That your wisdom, your knowledge from the tree of knowledge, having Adam or Adam's generation, having obtained unto education and still reaching for more education and more education, always going after the tree of knowledge. And he says, and I see this, and I behold you in that your wisdom hath corrupted you, like it was down in Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar had done all of these great things. He began to walk around through those fortified walls. It was so wide you could run about 6 chariots on there abreast, as you would say. And here he knew that those were impregnable walls and that nobody could get through there. And so then he began to walk through the palace and he said, look at what I have done and see that my hands have done. And as the Bible said of the king of Tyrus right here, said he had corrupted himself by the brightness of his knowledge, his wisdom. He lifted himself up. He said, look at that. He began to say that he was a god, and God had already warned him through Daniel, and all of a sudden fingernails begin to grow out as claws, and his hairs begin to be as feathers, as he was put out among the wild beast and the dews of heaven falling on him. Month after month he was there, and he lost his mind. He was completely gone because he did not give God the glory. God had done those things. The Bible said God has his way in the good, and God has his way in the evil, and God rules in the affairs of men, and God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Can evil come to a city? And I'm not sinning, saith God. I raise up one and put down another. I raise up kings. I'm the one that does it all, God says. I have my way in it. So then when he didn't give God glory, God put him out with the beast. When he went out with the beast, then his fingernails began to grow as claws. His hair began to grow as feathers. I've seen women in the day that we're living in. I couldn't believe it when I saw their nails. I couldn't believe it. 10 times, 15 times as long as an average fingernail. And I mean, they gloat over those kind of things. And I see men with their hair running down here like feathers flowing around in the wind. And I think, God, what has happened to them? And God said, I put them out with the beast. Because they did not have a love for the truth and did not like to retain me in their knowledge, I put them out with the beast, and they're beasts, and some of them brute beasts, to be made, to be taken and burned. And I think, Lord, Nebuchadnezzar, America, walking around saying, look at our institutions, look at our greatness, and behold, all that we've done in Babylon. And God said, it's nothing but a mess of confusion. That's all you've done. See, but the Bible said, as to the repentance, as it was in the vision of Washington when he saw the great economy fall, and he looked and he said he saw something happen over here, and the economy was raised again to never go down. And I thought, God, that must be the fall of America, and that must be Revelation 19 as to the intervention with the great white horse and Jesus coming to raise it up again. That is to say, it's a type of the millennium and to bring in the paradise of God, the government that shall never fall. But anyway, in looking at these things, Nebuchadnezzar, or that is, he stayed there until he gave God the glory. He stayed there till he gave God the glory. All of a sudden, being out here, the dews of heaven falling on him, finally, his senses began to return to him. And as his mind came back to him, he saw his nails grown out. He saw his hair long, like feathers. And as he began to look around, he saw where he was. His kingdom was gone. And he lifted up his hands and said, all glory be to the God of heaven and earth that's made heaven and earth. Oh God, he says, I realize my mistake. And all of a sudden they came and they begin to look, and somebody says, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And they saw that his mind had come back to him. They restored him to the throne. And all of his greatness was there again. And he walked through that palace again. But he was saying, look at what God done. Look at what God done. You know, when we get away from the world of science and the intellectual corruption of the world and the old tree of knowledge by which the king of Tyrus hath corrupted his beauty, That is to say, having done away with the grace and beauty of God, and that God beautifies the meek with salvation, having turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, when we get away from those kind of things, and we love the Lord with all of our heart, and we glorify God, and the wisdom that we have is not our own understanding, but it is the wisdom of God, and we sing that song, I'll give the glory to Jesus. That is to say, doing all things as unto the Lord, and doing those things as in the image of Christ, to bring the glory of God to this human body, that it might be changed into the incorruptible body that God wants it to be. So when we think about these things, we look at these things, we realize that the king of Tyrus, Satan, Lucifer, had fallen, the son of the morning. His generation is the same. And then comes John at Calvary. John, having been away in the wilderness, he comes and he says, I've laid the axe to the root of the tree. The old tree of knowledge that got its start in the garden, it has a generation of vipers that reaches clear down to the tree of life, even the Lord Jesus, the second man Adam. And he said, that tree is corrupt. That came from the garden. And he said, I'm going to lay the axe to the root of the tree. The Bible said, everyone that hangeth upon a tree is cursed. Cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. And Jesus hang upon the tree to take away my curse. Now I'm dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus, and the world is dead to me. I'm free from the law of sin and death, because as Daniel said, the Messiah came to make an end of sins. And my sins are in the sea of forgetfulness. They are no more. I pass from death unto life. Because by sin comes death, and there is no sin, therefore there's no death. I pass from death unto life. So then I can never come into condemnation. I'm happy, I rejoice, I sing, because I don't have the pressures upon me that the world has. See, the whole world is under the pressure of the law of sin and death. It's a great weight. It's a heavy overcast. And they can't rejoice. They can't have a good time. They can't enter into gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise. Because this heavy weight says, thou hast sinned and thou shalt die. Thou hast sinned and thou shalt die. But when the words of life come, Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. And then when this great weight is gone, in that the law of sin and death is no more, and I'm on this side of Calvary, and I'm rejoicing forevermore. He said, rejoice forevermore. I can sing. Why can I sing? Because there's no weight on me. I can sing because there's no heaviness of that oppression on me. I have a physical depletion at times. We are subject to vanity in the natural. And Paul said, within my heart is continual sorrow as to the human element of life, or as to the pressures from that side of life. But on the inside I have peace. In the world you have problems, because Lucifer is the prince of the world. He saves the things that be of the world. But the Bible said, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. This hope of glory, Christ in me, the hope of that glory world, is greater than Lucifer, the king of Tyrus, or the powers that's in this world that oppresses my mind and my body. As the song says, sin, the world, to sin doth allure me. Oh, how often my heart is tempted to sin. But overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. So, oh, how evil it allures me. But nevertheless, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I have power over all the powers of the enemy, even death. Death is the last enemy to be conquered. And yet Christ has already conquered it, and I've already overcome it, because I pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, because they're natural minded, and they cannot please God in that they cannot see God, they cannot understand God, they cannot. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. And this displeases God, because he doesn't want to lose the human creation as the body, in that the body belongs to God. He wants man to understand. He wants man to see. He went to great extent of spilling his own blood, or giving his own blood, so that you and I might be able to understand this wonderful thing of God. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, caught up into heaven. And here we are. Here we are, a steward of the mysteries. Give me just a few more minutes and I'm going to close, because it'd take a long time to go through what I'd like to say. King of Tyrus, when I made thee, all of thy pipes were perfect. Let me comment just a little bit now on the part of the covering cherub. We've got a message here on the covering cherub. Paul said, speaking of the Ark of the Covenant as to the covering cherub, he said in his day, this I cannot speak particular of. I can't speak particular of it. But God has revelated it and made it very clear in the day that we're living in because of the coming of the Lord. So then he said, and thou wast a covering cherub. Covering what? What did the covering cherubs cover? At the Ark of the Covenant, there behind the curtains, as in the holies of holies, the little 10 by 10, those covering cherubs, oval like this, their wings oval like this, one to another, standing one on this side of the Ark of the Covenant and one on the other side of the Ark of the Covenant, and their wings tipped over like this with their beautiful colors to symbolize the rainbow, or to make us to remember that the little Ark of the Covenant that's overlaid with gold, that it is a commemoration as to the Ark of Noah and the great rainbow of its colors that covered it, that's called the Covenant. So then, what is it? It is a covenant. It is a covering, or covenant, a covering, or covenant. I preached here how that Jesus said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. I brought some things out the other night concerning this. You cover with a covering, but not of me. That is your image, your bastard child image that covers your angelic being, as we expressed it the other night. That's not of me. That's of the first man, Adam. That's of death. That's infiltrated within the flesh. There's no good thing. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But as we born the image of the earth rest to the rending of the veil of Calvary, that is to say, in his flesh, making a more sure way, that is to say, and the veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom as he yielded up the ghost taken away from the body, the angelic part taken away from the natural body was a rent veil, for he made in himself two, made in himself twain, that is to say, both Lord and Christ, or ghost and body, or spirit and body. And the rending is the separation of the spirit and body. At death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Jesus dying out of the presence of God, by the angelic one, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the ghost, yielded up the ghost. And the ghost went back to God, the only Holy Ghost there is. There's never been another spirit that was holy. God is the only spirit that was ever holy. And God personified himself in Jesus, putting his fullness into the mold of that body. And once you mold a spirit, it is a ghost. King James gives the rendering as ghost because it is a personification. Now we know it's Christ. Before then, we didn't know what the ghost was. We didn't know what the spirit was because it fills heaven and earth. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool, reaching from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning, without end, no days, no night, forever. He is, he was, and shall be, even from everlasting to everlasting. So then the great God of heaven pouring his fullness into the body of the Lord Jesus, and this body molded as the fullness of this great spirit came into the Son of God. Then it was molded into a human being, or God was personified in Christ. And now we say Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, in that God begets us through the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man giveth to the wife a name, and as to the children. So then we understand that God personified himself in Jesus. The veil was rent in twain. He was now a ghost. He was now an image. He was now something the human mind could comprehend. He healed. He saved. He went about doing good. We comprehended God through the form of Jesus as to his activities and his attributes. And now we have a God, a personified God, a God of understanding, a God that we can place in a certain position, feels the infirmities. So we know God, we comprehend God through Jesus Christ and the greatness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this, the veil was rent in twain. Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they understood not that he spake of his body. And so when the veil was rent in twain at Calvary, the natural was rent in twain. And the holies of holies was rent in twain. And then the Ark of the Covenant began to show. And it was so that when the veil was rent in twain, the Bible said as to his body, the separation of the ghost from the body, all of a sudden, that ghost began to show. That is, it began to show in you and I. It went away, it came back into you and I. And today, Christ is attributes and Christ is nature and Christ is spirit as the characteristics of a Father and a Son, they show today. And now the ark of the covenant is revealed. The body is taken away. And now the innermost Christ, the God of heaven and of earth, is seen through the eyes of understanding as to comprehending. The great light in which Jesus dwells. No man dwells in that light except the members of his body, as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he alone dwells in that light. And no man has seen God in any time. Neither Moses, Abraham, or anybody else. Never did they ever see God at any time. But Jesus dwells in it. And Jesus declares God. For the Bible said he hath declared the Heavenly Father. He hath made him a declaration, an expression, a message, an understanding. Not that everybody's going to get it because they're not interested in it. They're interested in eating and drinking and riding and talking and lounging around and convenience and education and all those things to bring about the celebrities of life. See, but there is a few. There is a little flock. There is a people that are God's. They're great and they're mighty. They don't try to make themselves a god as the king of Tyrus did. They don't try to set their heart as God, as the king of Tyrus. They are God. They are a god. Jesus said, ye are gods. They have the wisdom of God. He said, ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. They know all things. They understand all things. They're not an impersonator. They're not a reflector. They are the very God body itself. So then is the covering cherubs, and here are those covering cherubs. We say as to the covering of what? Life. Life has to have a covering. Life must have a covering. In any form of life, it must have a covering. As the life of a little baby, it has the little baby's body. As the life of an animal, it has whatever kind of animal body that God has given it. And Paul said, as to every seed, according as to what God has given it, as to a body. It has a body. And Paul spoke of this as a terrestrial body and as a celestial body. He said, for there are things terrestrial with their bodies, and there are things that are celestial with their bodies. Having borne the image of the earthly, passing through this era of life, we come to our celestial body, in that we will bear the image of the heavenly, even that of the second man, Adam. Even of that of the quickening spirit, having passed from death unto life. So then, there are bodies terrestrial, there are bodies celestial. And the glory of the terrestrial is one, and the glory of the celestial is another. And we preached here one night on the difference of glory, for the Bible said every star that's up in heaven, it differeth in glory. And we brought out some of the difference of as to one glory as to another glory. And the Bible said as to this glory as to the innermost glory, we're changing from glory to glory. For God has called us to virtue and to glory, as I went into a little explanation concerning this the other night. So then we see the covering cherubs. What are the covering cherubs? It's Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were the covering cherubs. They were the ones that had the life. It was Eve's body that covered life. And it was Adam's body that covered life. But Eve's body come from Adam's body. So she was Mrs. Adam. They were one. The mystery concerning the church as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. No longer twain, but one. We are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptized into the body by one spirit. And we're one with God. We're bone of his bone. We're flesh of his flesh. And the word was made flesh. And so royal blood is in our vein. And the spirit of God is on the inside of us. And these covering cherubs was there. How beautiful, Adam and Eve. Perfect and upright in all of their ways. They were the coverings of life. They were that life dwelled in. Ye are the temples of God, and the man that defileth him, God will destroy. So then, when Lucifer entered into Eve, once Lucifer entered into Eve, he become the covering cherub of life. He has carried it as to the covering cherub of life all down through life. He is the covering cherub. He was there as the covering cherub before God. But coming on down through life, he held the position as though, even though he failed from being the covering cherub, as in the paradise of God, yet his fall was as to a future event. That is to say, it was when Judas come to the knowledge of right and wrong that he failed and Lucifer entered into it. So then as to Adam, or as to the king of Tyrus, as to a man, a personification, as to Satan personified in the earth as becoming the beast with the mark 666 as is coming in pretty soon, close now, moving on in, where everybody will take it. See, God spoke of the fall, but it isn't recorded until Revelation 12. And in Revelation 12, there is war in heaven. And Daniel says in his day, and he spoke of this and says in that day, Michael, the great prince, shall stand for his people. And then in that day, we read it, John records it, Revelation 12, and Michael stands and there's war in heaven, standing for his people, that is to say the Jews. So then when we see this, we realize that God spoke of the fall of Lucifer. The fall of Lucifer. That is to say, when he entered into Eve, he still retained a day of grace because God, seeing this fall, put the blood on the seat of atonement before man was ever born into the world to preserve man until he could manifest the sign at Calvary given to us in Christ before the world ever was brought to light at Calvary, in that was the rent veil, and then the light came forth from within the rent veil and preached. It was preached to us down through the church ages as to the dimensional steps of light until it compounds itself at the end of the way as the sevenfold light. That is to say the rent veil. Jesus said it is finished. It is finished. That is, this is the fullness of time, Jesus said. This is the fullness of time. For the Bible said, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law, made of a woman. And in the fullness of time, he gathered all things in heaven and earth into the body of the Lord Jesus. Or he said, this is as the waters of Noah. God put the heavenly things in the upper part of the ark. He put the creeping things of darkness into the lower part of the ark. And in the middle of the ark, he put that had the twilight rim here in the middle of the ark. Because that was the time that God gathered all things into the ark to take them over through the wrath of God to establish a new world and bring the ark out on the other side. The same as he's doing with the Jews, as to prepare the Jews to take all of society, as to the government and all of those things of the earth. He is taking these things into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is at Calvary, as to the Jews, riding over the tribulation period to bring in a millennium and another government and preserving all of life through the faith of the children of God. So, falling from the garden, thou wast in Eden, but you fail. You failed from the garden. Now you've corrupted your ways with your educational system. Now you've blasphemed God. Now you've cut yourself off from God. Now you've lent upon riches instead of faith in God. And falling, Eve fell, and the body went away. And we don't have time to say much about that today. We preached a little on the body the other day. I just want to stay with a thought here just for a few more minutes of the covering cherub. And the body went away, and God could no longer reproduce his image. That is to say, man is the glory of God. As the woman is the glory of the man, one different in glory. One difference in glory. One is to a glory of a man. One is to the glory of God. As to the terrestrial, as to the celestial. So then we see that the body departing, as the body departed, Adam could no longer reproduce his image. That is to say, as to the first man, Adam, the image in which we were created. That image had been lost. The overshadow, the illumination of that image of Christ. But that same Adam, that great spirit of illumination, sought after that body. And it followed that body all down through the years till it got to Calvary. When it got to Calvary, here Jesus came, being made in the image of that body, the image of sin, to where it was fallen, coming down as the feminine part. That is to say, leaving the masculine as to the spiritual and coming down to the natural as to the feminine part. Coming on down, and there, when he found that Lucifer, having taken his body, he met him head on at Calvary. And they had the great fight, the great contest, the star war, that of the heavenlies, as we say. We're just about to go into that right now. And here he met Satan head on. And when he met him, the only way he could meet him was in a body. That's why it looks like that God is killing you and killing me. He's not trying to kill us. He's only subjecting us to death to get the infiltration out of us. His war is not against the body. The Bible says the body is the Lord's. But it is Christ, the Spirit, from within the human body of Jesus, that's warring against the evil spirit that has infiltrated your being, and your flesh is no good thing. And the war, continual warfare between the body and the soul, or the spirit there, it is there, and God is trying to kill that out, eradicate that. He can't just come with the brightness of his coming as he will come after the millennium. He can't come that way right now. If he does, he'll destroy us because light eradicates darkness. And we are in the realms of darkness to that extent.
Call my people out, he said, Paul. You've got a revelation. You've got the mind of light. Take my people from darkness into light. And the light shined, and the great light of God shined to them that sat in the regions in the shadow of death. And unto them great light is spring up. Even the day star, that morning, the spring of the morning coming. So, on this resurrection morning, we see the same thing happening again. The great light has come. So then, I say again, here I am in light up here. You see these bright lights up here, and yet you see a shadow. You're sitting in the shadow out there, and I'm calling you out of the shadows into light. And yet, I'm not doing this. I'm only giving you a natural illustration. But Christ is calling you out of the shadows of your own intellectual reasoning, trying to get you into the world of light, into that transformating place, that translating place. When these men get through with the cameras right here, they will have translated this image into another dimension. I walk off somewhere, but they go show it over yonder somewhere, anywhere in the different parts of the world, and there I am, or there you are as they catch you on the screen. See, because you've translated, you've transformated, you've transfigured, you went into a dimension of light. Light captured you, and it takes you away as to the image. So then the covering cherubs then was Adam and Eve. But Eve, being part of Adam, that part of the covering cherub was lost as to God. That part of the covering cherub was gone as to God. And the only thing that God could do was personify himself in a human body, meet Satan head on, and bear it, Calvary, rend the veil and the separation of the spirit from the body to get rid of the infiltration of the body, to put it down into the grave and put it down into hell. Make it pass through the fire, saying, I counsel of thee, I counsel with thee, and I ask of thee, to bring me raiment that is tried in the fire. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the body that was lost, now it's redeemed. Redemption of the body. To wit, the redemption of the body. We can't go into those things. But anyway, coming to that, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on your beautiful garment, Zion, that has been tried in the fire, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we explain this a little better on the tape that they recorded a few nights ago. But here we are. We're coming into this great, wonderful restoration. And Eve, which is the flesh, is now turning back to the quickening spirit, even Adam, as it was in the originality of the image of God. And so then, instead of the covering cherubs being as it was, Lucifer over here being a covering cherub in Eve, and Adam over here as a covering cherub in God. It's no longer Adam and Eve as to the natural. But now it's Jesus and the Christ. For he redeemed the body as to Jesus, as to Adam the fallen one. And he took out the infiltration. And now Eve as the body of Jesus, as to the wife, as to the travail, as to the spirit that went into the side, as to the Caesarean, as we say, as the reproducing of the children, the first fruits of them that slept, as to the woman that travailed, that's seen in Revelation 12 as Jesus hangs upon the cross, as to the flesh, reproducing the children of God and bringing forth the children of God. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. As to the divine conception of our virtue as Mary to bring forth the image of Jesus Christ, as to changing, being transfigured. So then, we can't say what we'd like to say this morning, but this I'd like to say. Now it is the Jesus and the Christ. Now it is the body and the spirit again. Now it is Adam as to Jesus and Mary rather than Adam and Eve. As to the divine part that will bring forth the Son of God. As not to human relation, as to lust and Adam and Eve reproducing their children according to their feelings. Where the Bible said, not begotten of the will of men, as to human infatuations, the exhilaration of lust and human relation. Whereas there's nothing wrong with marriage. It's undefiled and all, but still it's not God's plan to the extent that in iniquity did my mother conceive me. It's all abased in the sight of God, and yet he allows for it through the grace of God until he can bring you back to the wonderful inspiration where God himself inspires the body and the Holy Spirit inspires the body and the nerves record his inspiration as to a verbal quickening, as to the inspiration of Mary to bring forth the holy thing without the degraded part of human relation and these other kind of things that Satan shows himself within the human body, showing himself that he is God, whom God will destroy as to the light with the brightness of his coming, as to the eradication, as to that, as a woman would wash a garment and putting in the detergent to get out the dirt. So, we see that God has done a wonderful thing. We're on the other side of Calvary. And we could say much about that. But we're on the other side of Calvary. And God has redeemed us from the fall. All right, let's stand together. So much I'd like to say, but I know I'm going to have to stop. Because the revelation of God is so great. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries. What will it do to me? What will it do to you? It caught Paul up into the third heaven. It took John up into heaven. It took Enoch. It took Elijah. What will it do to you and I? The revelation of Jesus Christ. What will it do to you and I? It will translate the church. It will translate the church. And you will no more think as a man, you think as God. You will no more think as a man because you will be no more man. It is God within you, the hope of glory. The Bible said, "In not you speaking, but God, and they shall all be taught of God." So then, it is God speak as the oracles of God. So then God is ministering to you. Why? He's rending the veil, or that is, he's bringing to pass. What was at Calvary? It is finished. It is finished. Revelation 10, the angel, one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, his hands raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. Time should be no more. We sing that song, and time should be no more. Why not time anymore? Because the fullness of time was at Calvary. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. That is the law of sin and death. That world is gone. See, that was a time world. That was a time world that was a derivative from the garden as to the fall through the tree of knowledge. But now it's the tree of life. There is no more time element involved. It's finished. It's folded up. It's gone away. I've done it all. I paid the price. I've took it away. Rejoice now forevermore, you that dwell in heaven. For you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution of all things. The flesh profited nothing. Your body is dead because of sin, and it's buried in a watery grave. And God now beholds you from mountaintop to mountaintop, over the valleys of despair. He beholds you as the body of the Lord Jesus, as from Calvary to the Thessalonian chains, as the flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. He doesn't see your mistakes and your faults as you pass through the valley of the shadows, in the low ebbs of this life that you're going through here, through the transitional changes. So then God is with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why is it I don't want? Because he hath given me all things that pertain unto life. What could I want for? Everything that I desire before I call, he answers. He prepareth the table before me, and that in the presence of mine enemies. He anointeth my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, in that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in my Father's house, Jesus said, there are many mansions. If that had not been so, he said, I would have told you. If it is so, then I go to prepare a place for you. If I prepare a place, then I'll return again to receive you unto my own, that where I am, you may be also. For if he hath prepared a place, he comes back for me, then I'm going away to be with him. I'm going away to be with him. I will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me. So it is so beautiful, so lovely, so great, so mighty. You see, not so, Brother Pike. That's because you cannot see. You cannot see. The blind men cannot see. The wicked shall not see when the good cometh. But the eyes of understanding as to the children of that dimension and that world and that light are so thrilled and carried away because they're changing from glory to glory. And they're transformating in their minds into different dimensions. And they know now that they are at home. They know that. They're beginning to believe. I'm a helper of your faith. I preach these promises to you that you might believe. That you might believe. And through the faith, Enoch, you might be translated that you should not abide in the realms of death, nor abide in the flesh, whereas people cannot please God. But be in the Spirit. To live in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. And the Bible said to let your conversation be in the Spirit or in heaven. In that heaven is Spirit. So your angelic man is for one world. Your natural man is for another world. If your natural man wins out, Then the world of condemnation, as when the grace is lifted, is torment and torture. God pours out his wrath upon the kingdom of the beast, and he gnaws his tongue for pain. Filled with darkness that is intellectual reasoning, can't find the light anymore. Can't find the way out. Not even healing medicines for all that is of God. But if the inner man wins out, then you are translated into the great dimension of light, as it was said concerning the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is comforted. Thou art tormented, for in the lifetime you had the convenience. He was hungry and didn't have any convenience. But now it has reversed. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Let's sing this little chorus together. It is finished, Jesus said. He finished it all. Like I said to the Lord, Lord, why do you tarry? Why do you wait so long? And then he filled my heart with song, and he gave me a song. The song was, Lord, why do you wait so long? And he said to me, he said, son, I'm ready. I've been ready all the time. He said, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. And that's why we wrote the song. Lord, why do you wait so long? He said, today I'm ready to go. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. So man procrastinate, not God. Let's sing this little chorus. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep wild stormy deep, but in Jesus we are safe evermore. Gone and the stone is rolled back, gone and the tomb is empty, gone to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone. Can you sing it with me? For he's gone, 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 to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone. Sing him again. Easter morning, the resurrection. So he's gone,
And the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone. Over death triumphed, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphed, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives. Can you sing it with me? The altars are open. Oh, he's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. Can you come to the altar this morning? Let's just everybody come on down to the altar this morning. Can you? Never given God a chance at your heart. Now is the time to do it. Gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death. Gone, sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus together. We talk about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say again that as the song said, Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't from the well. It wasn't from the natural well in Jerusalem. It was from the heavenly well. And when we sing Jesus gave her water, it wasn't from the well. We talked this morning, if I say something, that's from the well. But if you hear a voice as to hearing what the Spirit hath to say unto the church, and that it's not me speaking but him, then that's water that isn't from the well.
Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water.
Sing it with me, can you?
Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. That wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others too.
Can you sing it one more time?
All Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. town. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Let's give him a hand, James. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Can you sing with me? Or we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Sing it with me. Oh, we're ready for the bride. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Let's sing this little chorus. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Can you sing that with me? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing it one more time with me? I want you to lift your hands up. Close your eyes and realize where you are. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Just one more time. Sing it with me one more time. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Just one more time with me. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time shall be no more.
All you got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed. I really hope from my heart that you can understand where you're at, what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished." When he said, "It is finished." There's never been a generation like your generation, never before. Man has never before in the history of the world heard the words that you're hearing. To see the things that you're seeing, Jesus said, many great, mighty prophets and wise men desired. They desired this day, for this is the day of the promise. And the time of the promise drew near as we preached the message. And this is the day of the promise. This is the fulfillment of all of his words as to the reward of the holy apostles and prophets and his people. And you're the people that are partakers of it. How great, gracious we should be. A great, mighty people. The heavy weight and the overcast of the law of sin and death has been taken away. And it's gone. And it's there no more. Never no more. Never no more. Time is no more. It's never no more. And you're free from the law of sin and death. For the grace of God, Paul said, hath made me free. Don't you know you couldn't do anything but rejoice? You couldn't do anything but rejoice. To think that and to believe that and say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's real. My God, I am free. The only way that you could be heavy is not to believe what I'm telling you. He that believes these words, there's a spiritual quickening that passes through him and takes his spirit from life unto, or from death unto life. He passes from death unto life just through the expression of these words that are spirit and life, in that he is speaking and everyone is taught of God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. While you're standing here, and ask Brother Lundebo to come if he will, and while Lynn comes to pray, let's just lift our hands up, close our eyes, and remember that this is the day of the covenant. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For we've entered into the day of the Lord. We've entered into his rest. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. You don't understand because you don't see with your natural eye. You don't understand what is taking place in the great world of spirit, in that great wonderful realm of God.